conversation cussing, and it is cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour, and I guess you've got a pretty good idea what we're probably going to be talking about, at least at first tonight. Agnes and I were out running around earlier today. Well, not running around, we're running errands. Taking care of stuff, you know, going about the daily business of being. And among other things, I guess we missed the earthquake. I think we would have been on the road along about the time that the thing struck. But I've heard from neighbors and friends that, yes, it was felt in the county next to us and probably registered on U.S. Geological Survey equipment in southern West Virginia. The U.S. Geological Survey. Another one of those useless government programs that the teabaggers and the right wing and the repiglicans would just as soon do without. Now, in light of the fact that the quake shook the daylights out of Washington, D.C. today, you gotta wonder if maybe the teabaggers and their enabled freaks in the Congress, the House, and the Senate and such like might rethink their position on that. But of course, that presupposes thinking as being something that teabaggers and their other various and sundry assorted right-wing freaks do, which they don't. Not their strong suit, that whole thinking thing. Now, for my purposes, I thought one of the most interesting accounts of this was the account offered on Radio Rwanda. Megyn Kelly holding down the anchor desk, talking to Brett Baer in Washington, breathlessly describing what he felt, what he saw, what he heard. Yes. Describing the earthquake.
Phone to explain what he's felt down there. Brett, what do we know?
Hey, Megan. We were in the office in the D.C. Bureau. As you know, it's right up next to the Capitol, right near Union State. And the building kind of went side to side and thought it was nothing. And then it was a bigger side to side, and the whole building kind of was shaky. You look outside, the windows were shaking. There's not any damage on the building, but the fire alarm went off. We started getting calls from Capitol Hill of our producers not knowing what happened, originally thinking, something hit the Capitol or something, but then...
Right, because it's Fox, you know? And earthquakes don't just happen. Now, this clip, Caroli, another one of those people I really admire over at Crooks and Liars, caught this and posted it. And it's Radio Rwanda. The thing, and people thought something had hit the Capitol. I mean, it's August, and August comes before September, and, well, we haven't figured out yet, Megan, but we think it might have been a Sharia earthquake, or maybe one of those earthquakes that the gay people cause. You remember that, right? The gay community was credited with having the power to cause volcanic eruptions and cause earthquakes, I believe by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad over in Iran. But it's not like, they've got the power to bring on floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, Everything short of frogs and locusts. You know, you'd think that these right-wingers and teabaggers and stuff, given the incredible power of the gay community, might start being a little nicer to them. Or, as Dorothy said in The Wizard of Oz, someone might drop a house on you, too. Well, let's go back to Brett Baer and hear a little bit more about the Sharia earthquake.
It looked like an earthquake. Everybody's evacuated. I'm standing outside our building with hundreds of people from our building, essentially out on the street waiting for authorities to kind of tell us what the deal is. Nobody's hurt, and there's no damage to the building, but it was something to feel the here in the middle of...
One question, Brett. Are there any white women missing from the Sharia earthquake? Because if there are, there will be nonstop wall-to-wall coverage on Fox for the next 6 months, and over on Headline News, Nancy Grace might very well self-immolate.
The nation's capital, the floor completely shakes side to side, and everybody ran out of the building using the stairs.
They're saying now, Brett, that the epicenter was between Charlottesville and Richmond, Virginia. That is not the suburban D.C. area. That's a considerable distance away, and yet it is affecting not just Washington, D.C., but all the way as far north, they can tell you firsthand experience, to New York City. Now they're saying, according to Reuters, that it was a magnitude 6.0 earthquake, initially reported at 5.8 magnitude. This one now updated to have been a 6.0 quake, striking the United States.
A Sharia quake.
All up and down around the capital city area of... you know, major shaking and no reports of damage, just anecdotally what we're hearing here in D.C. But, you know, I can tell you that I'm standing in the middle of the street and the Capitol is evacuated. There are thousands of people streaming out of the Capitol building, even though most people aren't around here. Most of Congress is gone, but there's still folks who are working in and around the Capitol area. And everybody's on the streets.
Yeah, thanks to Radio Rwanda for that. Megan, we're wandering around in the streets like zombies. We just hope nobody shows up with chainsaws, old Stratocasters, frying pans, and electric, and you know, baseball bats and stuff, because they're bad for us zombies. Really? I mean, I'm just a little question to get us started, if that's okay. Was there any news in that report? See, that's the problem with the 24-hour news cycle. There's not a lot of news in it. The real... Until reports of damage and mayhem and death and destruction and stuff start rolling in, because remember, the first maxim of for-profit media is, if it bleeds, it leads. Until you know that, all you can say is, well, we've got... The only news in there was that the United States Geological Survey had reportedly measured the quake at 6.0 on the Richter scale. There's a little bit more news in noting that it was... its epicenter was in Mineral, Virginia. Okay, it's news to say it was felt in D.C., that it was felt in New York, that it was felt... Well, Ron in Raleigh sent me an email to say that they felt he felt it there in North Carolina. But beyond that, there's not a hell of a lot of news. But you got to fill up that time in between the advertisements for buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Call Goldline, your trusted source for over 50 years, for gold purchases. Got to be something to fill up the space in between those things. And you just heard it. But that's okay. That's okay. We will, we'll just wait until, oh, I don't know, Pastor John Starve Hagee, or maybe, Tony Norman Bates Perkins. Of the American Family Association, or whatever that weirdo group is, we'll just wait for them to declare this a homosexual Sharia quake, and Until then, there's not a lot to report. Yeah, except there's something to report. First of all, the first coverage I saw of this story was from CNN. Headline was Quake Hits Near Washington, D.C. Breaking news from the D.C. Bureau of CNN came from Wolf Blitzer, who spoke live at 2 p.m. Eastern Time from CNN's D.C. Bureau. Everybody was told to take the stairs, Wolf Blitzer said. Wolf, we want you to take the elevator, buddy. Don't strain yourself. But in the middle of that report from CNN was this little nugget. Allison Kosick is the floor reporter business correspondent for CNN. At 2:20 p.m. Eastern Time, she reported the following. Traders in the New York Stock Exchange felt the shaking and shouted to each other, "Keep trading!" God almighty! Keep trading! You gutless panty waste, keep trading! There's money to be made here! The capital markets don't take timeouts for earthquakes. Keep trading! If the roof caves in on you, well, somebody'll pick up your tabs and make sure the trades go through. Because in the end, that's what matters, that the trades go through! Neither rain, nor sleet, nor hail, nor gloom of night, nor 6.0 magnitude earthquakes shall delay these noble capitalists in the pursuit of their greedy rounds. That's like saying that there was reporting aboard the Titanic, which in not too much longer will actually be, we will experience the 100th anniversary of the sinking thereof. But upon sighting the iceberg, the boys in the engine room shouted, "Full steam ahead!" Because those people on Wall Street, I don't think they need water or air or food or love or shelter or any of the other sustaining things that are described in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. They need money. Because money is what rules their world. Wall Street is an institution that runs on pure 200-proof avarice. William, are you sure Limbaugh and Chris Christie were not skipping rope? All the TV earthquake talkers never once mentioned what I believe was the biggest quake on our end of the country, the New Madrid quake. History means nothing to the talking heads, and of course the New Madrid quake was significant. 19th century, early part of the 19th century, created Reelfoot Lake in western Kentucky near the Tennessee line, or maybe western Tennessee near the Kentucky line. My geography's a little hazy on that. Caused the Mississippi River to run backwards. Mm-hmm. And, if the New Madrid Fault, which is huge, it's named for a place called New Madrid, Missouri. That's Madrid to the rest of the world. If the New Madrid Fault was to get sideways in the modern era, the destruction would be I mean, we're, you know, six, seven, you know, one of those serious earthquakes, the destruction would be monstrous. But there's not a lot of details coming out just yet that I've been able to find, like, you know, what fault line this happened on. Be interesting to know. Our pal Cindy in the Great Northwest, and I'm going to read her directly. I'm going to quote her directly. I don't use generally use these kinds of words, but I will quote Cindy directly. Earthquake! 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 In D.C.! Oh, my God! What a bunch of pussies. No further comment. I just want the people of America to know I had to take the stairs, said Wolf Blitzer. You think I'm kidding about the Sharia quake. I did it 2 days. May have already happened. But there is a reality to this that bears consideration. Your consideration. There is something about this that is profoundly frightening. Not too awfully far from me as the crow flies. A little bit more or less west of the town of Whitesville, West Virginia, stands the largest dam in the Western Hemisphere. Let me say that again. The largest dam in the Western Hemisphere. And it's made of dirt. And mud, and piled up rubble. And it holds back something on the order of 9 billion gallons of toxic waste. And it sits atop a mountain and astride a mountain valley that is honeycombed with old mine works. And it's leaky. And on top of it all, Massey Energy and now Alpha Running Right Natural Resources. Massey did blast, and Alpha wants to blast. Blast, you know, dynamite, boom. Little man-made earthquakes, if you will. Right next to that dirt, rock, and rubble dam. I have mentioned before, and I will mention it again, and I hope you don't mind, because I have a lot of people that I dearly love down in the Coal River Valley. Our pal Nanette, her wonderful husband Paul, our buddy Bo Webb, everybody who works at Coal River Mountain Watch, school children, entire communities, and they all have a bullseye on them because of the number of sludge dams, toxic waste dams, dams made of dirt and rubble that hold back billions of gallons of toxic waste, toxic to the touch. And another one of those could wipe out God knows how many of them. The dams. It'll wipe out all of the people. But the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection is a little bit like those Wall Street traders that keep trading! Because the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection keep blasting! No, really. What else are you going to say? The engineering reports for the Brushy Fork impoundment itself, everybody say it with me, will kill 1,000 people instantly. The dam, upon breaking, will kill 1,000 people instantly, and practically everything in its path as it sweeps a 40 to 60 foot high wall of nasty, viscous, toxic waste down the length of the Coal River. A rather narrow little valley, I might add. All the way to St. Albans, West Virginia. And as David in Tennessee notes on you know, what fault line caused this, David in Tennessee says, you know, they don't know. The plates are part of some structures so old and so deep, the uber-brainy geological types don't know what faults are where. They're mystified. So they damn sure don't know which one scratched its balls and tugged at its boxers for some relief. It's moments like this that I'm reminded that the Earth is very much alive. The Earth, things in it, the things on it, the tectonic plates that float on the structures underneath it. And we don't know, but what maybe putting off somewhere between 3.5 and 4 million pounds of high explosives per day all over the southern West Virginia, we don't know but what that may have a hand in causing this kind of crap. We don't know but what the massive blasting that is entailed by fracking. We don't know. Although hacks and flacks and marketing types in both industries are busily, I am sure, at this moment, cranking out press releases saying, "We didn't do it! Everything's good, nothing to see here, move along. These are not the droids you were looking for." And the for-profit media says, "No, these were not the droids we were looking for." Do you happen to remember? It was a little, about a year and a half ago, when the upper Big Branch mine blew all to smithereens and took 29 men with it. The United States Geological Survey, the earthquake monitors, registered that, too. And it looked and felt on the graph like an earthquake. Just saying, David in Tennessee now letting me know, this just in, the geogenius types say the fault line may be one in eastern Pennsylvania somewhere, but they're not sure. They're kind of still guessing. An email in from Nickname. "You know you've lived in California too long when not only do you refer to the geologists they interview on the news after a quake by their first names only, but you have a favorite. So I get the hell off the Ring of Fire, and 2 years later..." Yeah. Look. It's a spherical planet, and it's a closed system, and there's really nowhere to hide. And therefore, a bit of forethought and foresight would suggest that you not do things to deliberately provoke the planet. Because when awakened, it does all kinds of fun stuff, and things that are not so fun. I tweeted earlier that the people of the Coal River Valley dodged a bullet today. Our buddy Vernon Haltom from the executive director at Coal River Mountain Watch Facebooked back at me. "No, Bob, that was no bullet. They dodged an ICBM." And how true that is. See, there's been no small amount of controversy about the Brushy Fork impoundment of late, because there are real questions as to whether or not it is safe. Emphasis on not. Never mind the fact that the hapless and coal industry obsequious West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection, well, that's safe. In point of fact, there was a press release or an announcement not too awfully long ago. There was mention from the DEP, and this is a dandy. The DEP has announced in response to today's earthquake, the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection's Division of Mining and Reclamation plans to inspect all Class C coal-related impoundments in the state by tonight. Division of Mining and Reclamation Director Tom Clark said, Class C impoundments have high hazard potentials. And we need to mail the understatement toaster to the Department of Environmental Protection this evening. Class C impoundments have high hazard potential. Inspections will be done in consultation with the DMR's regional dam engineer. Where's that dam engineer? All other impounding structures and embankments should be examined within 72 hours, Clark said. All of the DMR's inspection staff and engineers were certified or recertified in impoundment inspection earlier this month. They were inspected, neglected, rejected, and detected, and sent to sit on the Group W bench. Okay, great. We've had an earthquake. And now you're going to go and you're going to come back and you're going to say, all clear, everything's fine. Those are some great impoundments, and West Virginia needs coal, more coal. But see, this sort of highlights the problem with these impoundments. Because one of these days, an earthquake will get them. And given the rate of transpiration involved, I think it's safe to say that they will not be empty of goop and toxic waste when it does happen. So now we're back to those walls of toxic waste running down valleys and hollers and carrying away all, just scrubbing the life clean. And you see, there's no right way to do this. I got into a bit of a Twitter snit with some guy who's, the EPA needs to work with the mining industry to help them with the rules and regulations. And I just asked him, how do you, there's no way to do mountaintop removal better. It kills people, innocent people, people who had no say in the matter. It kills them. How do you kill people better? But not to worry. All of the Department of Mining and Reclamation's inspection staff and engineers were certified or recertified in impoundment inspection earlier this month. Hey, Jim Bob. We went and inspected all them dams. What do you want us to do now? Well, of course they's leaking. They've been leaking since they's built. Just recertify them? Tell everybody that everything's safe? Well, that's true, boss. I mean, what the hell would we do if one of them was getting ready to go? It's not like it's possible for anybody to get out of the way of it. Having an escape route for one of these things is, after all, a cruel joke on the people who live there, because nobody's going to escape. Once the thing breaks, it's going to travel at breakneck speed at a wall of toxic waste 60 feet high, and there's no way to get away from it. Yeah, but boss, you're right. We can at least tell them that we've inspected them some more. The only problem is this is the same West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection that objected to an Office of Surface Mining and Reclamation Enforcement order back in January, giving them 10 days to prove that the dam was safe in the first place, which they haven't done even now in August. Going back to the Titanic reference of a little bit ago, this is rearranging the deck chairs thereupon. Because you know what? If the dam is not safe, there's not a damn thing a soul can do about it. Not a thing. There's no getting away. For babes in arms, for mothers, for the old-timers, for the little children studiously attending to their lessons at their school desks, to the first for the first responders, the firefighters, the police officers, even for the funeral home directors, the undertakers, and the embalmers. There's no escape. No escape. And the fact of the matter is, the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection is so utterly incompetent and so wholly corrupt that I have no confidence whatsoever that if something was badly wrong at one of these things, oh, we're going to inspect them all in the next 72 hours. Based on their conduct with regard to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement, I have no confidence that they would admit it. Because that'd be bad for coal. And then we'd have to start having discussions about whether these goddamn nightmare impoundments are safe, when there's no way that you can answer that question with a yes. Well, because it has to have an adjective or an adverb in front of it. Things like reasonably safe or tolerably safe. But even in their regulatory classification of these damned things, they are referred to as high hazard structures. Even the fawning West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection cannot evade the fact that these things are actually monuments to looming, grim, horrifying death. And one of these days, I can't bear to say it. But you know what the outcome will be one of these days. And you know what everybody from the acting governor of West Virginia to the Speaker of the House of Delegates to the courts to the senators, to the members of Congress, to the coal company executives, to the members of the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection, and all the way down to the grieving victims, relatives of the victims, will say, because it is what always gets said here. Well, what we're looking at here is an act of God. In the very instant, in the very moment when the faithful cry out with words that even their minds can't form, but their souls know, when those souls cry out for succor to an invisible, theoretically omnipotent, but incredibly distant and disinterested God, at the same time that they are crying out for surcease of their sorrow, corrupt, coal-washed, politicians and executives who depend on this murderous practice for their daily bread will blame it on the Almighty. You know it, and I know it. And I don't mean to discount any of the other problems that are attendant upon this earthquake today, not the least of which is the fact that the damned epicenter was practically smack dab right on top of what, for all intents and purposes, was an antique nuclear reactor site. Interestingly, in Representative Eric Cantor's district. It had to be shut down. How do you say Fukushima in hillbilly? I got notes on my Facebook page saying that apartment foundations had been cracked as far away as Long Island. Long Island. But I'm sure we will be given the all clear, just like we'll get the all clear. Because what the hell else are they going to say? That everybody's got to get out? I'm talking about thousands upon thousands of people here. Just as the DEP will give the all clear following the emergency inspection of the toxic waste dams made of dirt, rubble, and rock, so too will some flack for the nuclear energy industry come forward and say, you know what? It looks to me like maybe the earthquake actually made the reactors stronger. Now, why would I say something crazy like that? Because the West Virginia DEP said that. They've actually said that. They've said it in the last couple of weeks. I forget which flack flunky or hack said it, but in regards and in response to questions about the safety of the Brushy Fork impoundment, and in particular the safety of blasting near it, a flunky for the DEP said, well, I looked on the Google and it says that blasting can be good for an earthen dam. No shit, really. Really? That's the kind of crazy-ass crap you get here in this state that plays in a persistent minor key. I read somewhere that earthquakes was good for dams made out of dirt. Because I done found out on the Google that blasting's good for them. And you know what? Here's the fun part. None of those sorry bastards live anywhere near the kill zone. Nowhere near it. So just some initial thoughts on earthquakes in the not earthquake prone Atlantic seaboard. I guess it just sort of, all you can do is adopt a wait and see attitude. That, or you can run out into the street with Brett Baer and, or go down the stairs with Wolf Blitzer. Keep trading! God almighty. Keep trading. There's money to be made. Money. More money.
Money? God, money, it feels like blood in my veins. More money, make more money. Keep trading, keep trading, keep trading. Trading makes the world go around.
Does that frighten you? Because it scares the piss out of me. Full speed ahead. Damn the torpedoes. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. And we always need your support. We look for every night something between 6 and 10 people to pony up 10 bucks apiece. There is still a standing challenge out there. I'll need you to email me so I can warn Boss Man Wayne. But our buddy John has offered to match $100 worth of contributions that are sent to the snail mail address. He wants to challenge folks who don't like PayPal to go ahead and put the stamp on the envelope and send a contribution in. So shoot me an email and say, yeah, I'm gonna participate in John's challenge. And then I'll have Boss Man Wayne keep an eye out for things. The snail mail address, by the way, is 1038 The Horn, 1038 Eisenhower Drive, PMB, Paul Marty Baker, 318, PMB, 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, West Virginia, 25801. And for those of you who do prefer to deal with PayPal, it is, well, the PayPal button is right there at headonradionetwork.com. I think it's available on every page. So, that's your kind gifts are how this all goes forward. Phone lines are open, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. This is The Horn.
Just got Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, August 23rd, 2011.
A lot of hot weather coming our way for the rest of the week, into the weekend. We're going to keep cooking around here.
Hot and hotter. More record-breaking heat around the world in a record-breaking year. Civil disobedience at the White House over dirty pipeline oil. Plus,
the minute that the Republican Party becomes the anti-science party, we have a huge problem. We lose a whole lot of people who would otherwise allow us to win the election in 2012.
A GOP catfight erupts as Republican presidential candidates spar over science.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
The notion that man-made gas has caused global warming is probably the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people.
That was Oklahoma's Republican Senator James Inhofe in 2005. Today, Oklahoma City breaks the record for most 100-degree days in a single year ever. Congratulations on your hoax, Senator Inhofe. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, we're getting word as we go to air today, just seconds ago, that there has apparently been a 5.8 earthquake on the East Coast, felt in Virginia, New York, and as far south as North Carolina.
Yes, they're reportedly evacuating both the Pentagon and the Capitol grounds as we speak.
Now, a 5.8 out here, out west, is not all that enormous, but out east.
Right, out east, where there are lots of nuclear power plants that have not been designed with earthquake resilience in mind, that could bring up some interesting questions. We'll have more on that as we learn more later this week. But first,
today's highs, low 100s, and a lot of 100s ahead of us right through the weekend.
The record extremes of 2011 do continue to break records. As we said earlier, Oklahoma over the weekend broke its record for the highest number of days over 100 degrees. It's part of a double whammy with a record drought. But don't tell that to Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe, who still believes that the science underlying climate change is a global conspiracy.
He has repeated it over and over again. He is the king of the deniers. Here's what he loves to say.
The notion that man-made gas has caused global warming is probably the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people.
I would suggest the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the people of Oklahoma is James Inhofe.
And you know, it's not just Oklahoma. This week, Las Vegas broke its own record for the hottest July on record and its hottest temperatures ever recorded. And it's not just the United States. For the second year in a row, Asia is seeing record high temperatures as well. And not just run-of-the-mill heat waves. Asia, for the second year in a row, is seeing some of the hottest temperatures ever recorded on Earth. Yes. Ever recorded on Earth, with temperatures above 127 degrees. And we should also point out that the six hottest undisputed temperature records ever measured in Asia have all occurred in just the last 2 years. And it's not just seasonally high temperatures because it's summer. A new study in the journal Science confirms that animals and plants are migrating to higher latitudes as their habitats show increased signs of warming. They're migrating, plants and animals, at 2 to 3 times faster than they were in the last study that measured this back in 2003. Apparently, plants and animals do not watch Fox News or listen to Senator Inhofe.
Indeed.
Climate science has also opened a rift, or an opportunity, depending on how you look at it, for the Republican presidential candidates for the 2012 election on Sunday. John Huntsman, former governor of Utah, finally got the major news networks to give him an interview after he slammed Texas Governor Rick Perry's statements last week that climate science is unproven and scientists have manipulated the data. Here is Huntsman on ABC's This Week.
When we take a position that basically runs counter to what 98 of 100 climate scientists have said, what the National Academy of Sciences has said about what is causing climate change and man's contribution to it, I think we find ourselves on the wrong side of science and therefore in a losing position.
But Huntsman isn't the only Republican to attempt to use climate science to differentiate himself from the crowd. New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie is not running for president yet, but he took the opportunity this week to reiterate his acceptance of the scientific evidence. Here he is at a press conference back in May.
When you have over 90% of the world's scientists who have studied this stating that climate change is occurring and that humans play a contributing role, it's time to defer to the experts.
Like Huntsman, he accepts the scientific evidence, but he says it's too expensive to do anything about it, which to me is about the same as being a denier. Arrests continue at the White House oil pipeline protest. More than 160 people have been arrested since Saturday at a peaceful protest in front of the White House to demand that President Obama deny approval of the proposed Keystone XL oil pipeline. Organized by TarSandsAction.org, the protesters say that the risk to the nation's farmland and water supply from potential pipeline spills is too great. And speaking of pipelines and oil spills, remember that oil spill a month ago on the Yellowstone River in Montana from a pipeline? ExxonMobil says the cost of cleaning up those 40,000 gallons of crude oil will cost an estimated $42.6 million.
Keep up the great work, fossil fuel industry. For more on that story and the ones we did not get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report. We rely on you to stay on your public airwaves. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
The facts are with science. The facts are with science. Science is real. Science is real.
Global Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Global Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap, there's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Global Genius, we got your soap right here.
And got your body stuff.
www.globalgenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Lucky for us, we don't have to hit any satellite marks or tops of the hour, so we'll just, you know, we can play the second hour intro anytime we want to, and we'll blame the earthquake. Clock's off. I got knocked off a little bit. No. I mean, that makes about as much sense as blaming God for it, right? As far as I can tell. So, A couple of quick emails, and then we go straightway to the phones. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. Direct dial 304-658-3333. And now a couple of emails rolling in here that are salient to the issue. First of all, Cindy. On a more serious note, she says, when you lay off all your big mouth scientists and replace them with Jeebus freaks from the Uber Christo University zombie factory, well, nobody knows where anything is or how anything works anymore. How true. They laid off all the knowledge of generations and gave no quarter to a program for protege training. This rule of no professionals stands for nuclear plants, too. P.S. Earthquake? I had a 7.0 at my house here about 10 years ago, and nobody noticed. It was fun. I think that might have been offered with a smattering of sarcasm. Our buddy Jim says, noting the fact that, after all, you know, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has said that gay folks can cause earthquakes, volcanoes, you know, the heartbreak of psoriasis. In an email titled Political Buggery in D.C., Jim notes all of the above may have caused the quake. Lord knows there's probably enough inertial force for that. In an email titled Galloping Horses, Patty, cowgirl, says, hey, Bob, below is what they'll all hear when the inspections of the dams are all done. As long as you can't see it from a galloping horse, it's okay. Ain't nothing we can see, so all's well. Now shut the up and get back to work. Patty noting, now if I could just get anyone from my family to freaking call me back. Hugs and love. And Kath in Canada. With regard to John's snail mail challenge, she says, Bob, I'll take a piece of that action. I'll mail a U.S. dollars money order for $20 this week and would like to challenge anyone listening tonight to make it a 22. I usually PayPal, but my husband was doing some research on the CEO of PayPal, and he's pushing for more offshore drilling, and we all know how well that can turn out. We're going to stop using it altogether. Great show, and I'm very glad that the quake was not felt your way and that there was no major damage. Thank you, Kath. Thank you. Yeah, PayPal's kind of distressing. Now, granted, the guy who founded PayPal is not running PayPal anymore, but he's still a sleazy bastard. Because PayPal got bought off by eBay. Not like they're much better. But all of the institutions that do online transfers of money that I'm aware of charge roughly the same amount. 3%. $3 on 100. I saw a story the other day and it bears mentioning. This clown, and I can't remember his name, the founder of PayPal, has decided he's going to sink some big bucks, not just into offshore drilling, Kath, but into floating cities at sea. And these floating cities are going to have no national allegiance. And they're going to be little floating libertarian wonderlands. Somebody's been taking the science fiction novel, the bad science fiction novel. I mean, it's sort of bookended by Dianetics or Battlefield Earth. Somebody's been taking Atlas Shrugged a little too seriously lately. But, yeah, they're going to have little John Galt artificial floating islands at sea. And I guess they'll barter for everything, and it'll be a free market wonderland. And I can't wait till they need some help from an approaching typhoon or hurricane. And, well, you know, save yourselves, you libertarian jackasses. Because us socialists, we're going to take care of each other, but you don't want to be part of it. So goodbye now. Poseidon Adventure much? Right. Fine by me. So onward we go, and to the phone lines. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi. This is Susan, by the way.
Yeah, hey, Susan.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned, you know, the filling up the 24-hour cycle was really difficult. Now, you see, I have a theory as to why that is.
Okie doke.
It wouldn't be so difficult if they didn't deny the very concept of science, because then, you see, they could bring in scientists and sit there and talk about plate tectonics.
Well, and right, and that applies in so many other ways as well. I remember being a kid growing up and watching smart people on the news talk about really deep subjects like economics and foreign policy instead of just citing the latest polls. But I think there's also a recognition inside the executive hierarchy of the 24-hour news cycle, whether it be at Radio Rwanda or CNN or Headline News or any of the other alphabet soup, that we as a people, for a variety of reasons, have the attention spans of, you know, a moth. And so you can't, you know, if you bring in a scientist to say, well, you know, the plates are like this, and there's a lot of goo under the crust, and, well, if you think about how soft your bread is under the crust, and, well, it's kind of, and they move around, they float, and they sort of get all squishy together, and one side, you know what? After one sentence of that, Susan, all the little teabaggers and all the little repiglickens and a whole bunch of, you know, the semi-interested, disinterested, disaffected, disengaged people who watch 15 minutes of it in the Jiffy Lube or wherever and then move on, their eyes would glaze over and they'd just fall down.
They're the willfully stupid.
Or at least dim.
Okay, the people who are, have a modicum of intelligence are sitting there wanting to know, okay, why is this part of, why are we getting pieces of the Capitol Dome falling off? This guy can maybe tell me. And there are people sitting there saying, why is Detroit feeling this? Which they did, believe it or not. When Western earthquakes don't do that. It's real simple. The plate that the eastern United States is sitting on is one very
one big plate.
Yeah, and it rings like a gong, you know. You know. Yeah, and the ones on the western side, they're all broken up, and so all that energy gets dissipated. But, you know, you can pick up all sorts of things. The trouble is you got to start doing stuff like this. Oh, about age four.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah, and
I mean, that stuff was done to me starting at about age nothing.
Yeah, you and me both. You know, I can. You're talking to a woman who used to read the Encyclopedia Britannica for giggles.
Mine was the World Book, but yes.
Yeah, and it's. These people don't read. You can't get them to read. They don't want to learn.
Right. I guess I was halfway kidding, but I won't be particularly shocked if in the next 24 hours I read that some goober from the religion industry or maybe Michelle Bachmann or possibly, I don't know, Rick Perry. You know what? Earthquake comes down Texas like that. You know what we're going to do? We're not going to be very nice to it. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
no. Really.
What you can't understand. Because they don't need any brains, is they can understand some pastor standing up there and saying, you don't need to worry, God will take care of you.
Well, which do you have a better chance of winning on? Let's see, it's Tuesday, that means it's Mega Millions lottery night. Which are your, honest to God, Susan, what are your odds better on? Betting a dollar that Michelle Bachmann will say it's a Sharia earthquake or something along those lines, or betting a dollar on the Mega Millions? I'm thinking it's a much better bet on Bachmann.
You think both? She's a, if nothing else, she's predictable. let's face it, the lottery's more or less chance. Oh, and by the way, having, living in an area where there are dams and there are bridges that all have to be inspected after an earthquake. Honey, if they come up and say, within 24 hours and say, the bridge has been, the dam's been inspected and everything's cool, they're lying.
Because sometimes it's not readily apparent, is it?
A proper inspection of a dam will take up to several weeks.
Oh, not around here, because the coal company doesn't know how to make a bad dam.
Horse pocketing.
Because the coal industry also doesn't give a good dam.
Exactly. That's it. And...
But what I found, the other thing I found interesting out of that little press release, Susan, though, was that nowhere in it did it say the coal companies are going out to inspect.
Well, of course not, because even though they own them, the coal companies can't be bothered to get off their lazy duffs.
No, it's not that they're lazy. It's that, you know, inspecting those things costs the shareholders money.
Money, yes. But to me, that's getting off their lazy duffs. And this may be really macabre, but you were talking about the people who live downstream from those impoundments.
Yes, my friends, my neighbors, my colleagues. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if how many people you could get all together at once to do this. But if you could... This is the one thing that maybe might get some attention.
Yes.
Get a documentary or a filmmaker, a news cameraman, and you all show up, kids included, right down to the babies. Have yourself tattooed with your name.
Oh, there have been die-ins.
Just in case. A die-in is fictional. A tattoo is damn permanent.
That's very true. Very true indeed.
If nothing else, they will be able to identify the damn bodies. God, that's a depressing thought.
Well, it is, but it's also, but you know what? You just experienced in that little shudder that ran through your body, Susan. You just experienced our reality. Or, well, not our, because I don't live in the Coal River Valley. But yeah. the reality for my friends, my colleagues, loved ones, people, and total strangers.
I live downstream from some of the biggest dams in the world. But I know they're not going to go anytime soon. No, I know when they built Hoover Dam, they did it right.
But you know what? This thing's bigger than Brushy Fork Impoundment. It's bigger than Hoover Dam.
I know, and they didn't.
But it's only made out of dirt.
They didn't do it right, and it just freaks me out. Because nobody's, every time I call my Congress critters, every time, you can call them up. They know, but they not only know my name, they know my voice, and they also know, no matter what else I call them about, sooner or later, I'm going to end up talking about those dams. And sooner or later, I am going to end up saying, what do you care? They're just a bunch of goddamn hillbillies, aren't they, to you? Well, they're my friends.
We need that passion, Susan. And, you know, there are good things happening. It's my understanding that I believe in early October there will be a screening of The Last Mountain for members of Congress.
You know what they need to do? They need to go in and drain those, and then they need to break those dams.
Yeah, and but you know, the problem is, what do you do? I mean, that's toxic waste.
I know.
For a while they were getting away with hiding it by injecting it underground so it would go into people's wells and give 23-year-old boys kidney cancer.
Yeah, that's the problem. What do you do with all that crap?
And I don't know that there's a good answer.
Oh,
I guess you, I don't know, maybe you could evaporate it and who knows.
Shoot it up into the sun, maybe. I have something that may make you feel a little bit better. Do you remember dear Eric Cantor and his little comment about the people in Joplin, Missouri, about how they should quit whining for FEMA?
Yes.
Okay, guess who is getting major damage in his district?
Oh, the folks at the epicenter there in, what is it, Mineral, yeah. Virginia?
Right. And by the way, that nuclear plant is running on backup generators. It's running on the backups for the cooling system.
Isn't that inspiring?
Yeah, and doesn't that sound familiar? But, guys, hey, Mr. Cantor, you really hate FEMA now?
I'm sure he still does, but he doesn't dare call his own constituents whiners.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't dare. But I would really like to say what I think of that man, but you can't say that on the air. It's just not nice.
Mama wouldn't think well of it.
No, he's not nice. He's not nice. I won't go that far. He's not a nice man.
Yeah, let's work with the word evil.
He is a little skeeve.
There you go. See, we can make it work when we try.
That's a good term, skeeve. Just a slithery, icky, yeah. But, yeah, it's just, you're getting damage from all over that area, from Ohio, Detroit. And it's not just the capital.
No.
But every bridge in all of that, all of them, all the bridges, they've all got to be inspected. All the dams have got to be inspected. See, we're used to this. You know, every time we have an earthquake, okay, time to go out, check the bridge. You know. You guys aren't used to this. This is going to freak you guys out.
But
you're going to find out the hard way. There's probably going to come to light a whole lot of bridges that should be shut down, should have been shut down a long time ago. And weren't.
Oh, this nation's infrastructure is, I'd say it's probably past crumbling.
Oh, yeah, it's
yeah.
If for no other reason, the Republicans in Congress need to pay for that, for stopping the infrastructure rebuilding of our infrastructure. They need to pay for that. Because that would have taken care of our recession.
I'm all for it.
But try and get it through the Congress. Nah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, because we've got a spending problem, right? Yeah, we've been down that road.
Snarl, snarl. Anyway, I'm going to let you go because I'm sure you have lots and lots of other people. But, oh, one piece of advice. If you are trying to get a hold of someone to let them know that you are all right or trying to find out, try getting on Skype. The cell towers are just jammed. The landlines are just jammed. Skype doesn't seem to be as overloaded.
And, you know, that there's something that we have to do some investigating of somewhere down the road. And that is the new Google VoIP functionality.
Ooh!
Yeah, Google Chat, Google Talk, or whatever it's called. It's coming along nicely.
Yep. I'm going to look it up.
All right, Susan, have a wonderful evening, dear.
Give my love to Agnes and the kids.
Sure will. We'll talk soon.
Ta-ta.
Ta. TTFN, ta-ta for now. That's News Ninja Susan calling from Oregon. Yeah, there are places that know how to do this sort of thing. And I'm glad Susan could confirm that sort of that little, you know, itchy itch that I couldn't quite scratch that didn't quite feel right. Day will be over here in another 45 minutes to an hour, hour and 15 minutes. There are an absolute buttload of these dams all over southern West Virginia and all over eastern Kentucky. I don't know what Kentucky's doing about theirs. But you can't. The only way you can inspect them or say that you inspected them is via Patty's method. Ride by real fast. It's still there! Oh, cool. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
How you doing?
Holding up. How about you?
I'm holding up. Got a 400-mile wide hurricane, but I think it's going to turn. But it had to go. It had to go through.
You know what? You remind me of that old Jerry Clower joke about the man up the tree with the wildcat hollering,
uh-huh.
And the man up the tree hollering, "Knock him out, John! Knock him out, John!" John hollers, "But if I shoot, I might hit you." "That's all right. One of us got to get some relief." You know, you with the hurricane. You know, us with the sludge dams. Somebody gonna get some relief.
Did y'all get any of the earthquake?
There was shaking here. I didn't feel any of it, nor did Agnes. No, there was shaking here. And
I know they didn't have you on the news about it.
No, they won't have us on the news until one of the toxic waste sludge dams breaks.
And then they'll have that on maybe 5 minutes.
Well, you know, however long it takes Anderson Cooper to parachute in here.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. Is that school still there?
Yeah, but the new one, I believe, will open next fall.
So they did start building on it.
Yes, they
did.
Well,
I'm calling because of something I saw on Washington Journal. I believe it was Sunday. This man scared the tar out of me.
Who and why and how?
Well, come to find out, he's from the Heritage Foundation.
Hey.
And I don't know if you've heard of his name before. I didn't see the very first part of it, but I tell you, it just, ooh. He was talking about that there weren't that many poor people in this country.
No, everybody's got a TV. Can't be poor and have a TV.
Well, you can't be poor. You can't have air conditioner. You can't have cable TV. You can't have a computer. You can't have a microwave.
I've heard this speech before, Juanita. See, America, I've heard Limbaugh make it. America, my friends, America does not have any poor people. That's what he said, pure people. Because we don't understand anymore what it is to be poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I need.
This guy's name is Rector, R-E-C-T-O-R. This is his last name.
Well, it sounds like he's only missing a vowel and a consonant from being what he actually is.
Oh, he's really that. And he's just, he sounds like he's a nice guy, but I'm telling you, it reminds me of the way welfare used to be, you know, that you'd have somebody coming out to your place all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had the least little luxury, you'd have, you know, and they came and found it, then that takes some of your benefits away, if not all of it. It just, it could be like a record player or something, you know.
That's what they'd like, and that's what they'd like to return
it's
to.
It's afford, you know, TV.
And just remember, Juanita, yesterday was rather of a special anniversary. Yesterday was the 15th anniversary of when Bill Clinton slit poor people's throats with so-called welfare reform. And the folks at Think Progress noted that on this 15th anniversary of welfare reform, the aid that people need is not getting to those who need it most.
No, because a lot of time people have a lot of pride.
In 1979, 82 people out of every 100 families in poverty, 82 families out of every 100 families that were in poverty got welfare benefits. At the date of enactment, 15 years ago, 1996, 68 families out of 100 who were in poverty were getting the benefits and the assistance that they need. In 2009, Juanita, that number has dwindled to 27 out of 100 families in poverty. That's a 68% drop. A 55% drop since 1979, and a 41% drop since
1990. Help was supposed to be, you know, but it sounded something on that order, you know, only worse of the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And because some states were better than others too, you know. But somebody called in and said that they were on disability, SSI, which is really, really low. And she says, I don't have any of those conveniences except I do have a TV that I found in a dump. And, he said, well, you'd probably be one of the kind of people we would like to help. But for how long, Bob? And for what? What does she have to go through the mill?
You have to, no, in post-welfare reform America, you have to work like a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Because, in some instances, you have to work for free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, down here. They got that down here. And you're supposed to have your children are supposed to be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you don't have time to spend with them. God. Boy, and it's just like they had somebody on today about the illegal alien.
Oh, and, my goodness.
And the one girl, her mother was, you know, came that way and did become a citizen when they had, you know, when they had that reprieve during Reagan's term.
Right.
And anyway.
Don't say that too loud, Juanita, because the teabaggers don't like to be reminded of that.
But anyway, well, I can only say I second the motion as what Miss Waters said.
Yeah. Where they can go.
And her heart.
And by all means, let's let it. I hope they're. They can hurry along to get there, too, right?
Yeah. But these people call in and they said, you know, we've got laws, and these laws must be obeyed. And these people come here and they get all these benefits. They get more benefits than we do, than we can ever think about getting. And they're breaking the law. They don't need to get away with that. And they'll say a thing in the world about these employers that are hiring them.
Well, of course
they're
not.
They're breaking the law, aren't they?
Sure. But they're breaking the law so that they can get a new Porsche instead of a new Corvette. And that's capitalism, Juanita.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah, they, yeah. But people are being so brainwashed, but I think a lot of they want to be. They don't want to know the facts. They want to have their own little illusional life. Or how would you call it, disillusion?
Well, they're the ultimate entitlement culture, Juanita, because they think they are entitled not just to their own opinions, but to their own facts.
Yeah. And they want a society where everybody walks in goose steps, lock steps, whatever you want to call it. I'm telling you, Bob. And you know, if you watch some of the history of Germany, how the German people, they had it pretty good for a while. That's why they liked Hitler. But then when things started getting really tough, they had to work their buns off. They weren't as bad as like being in a concentration camp or a prisoner of war camp. But they had to put out. And, cause they, you know, it was a failing Reich. And they had to really put out. And they found out what he was all about, some of them.
Yeah, that was an ugly little wake-up call.
Yes, it was.
Of course, some of them knew all along. You know, that would be like our teabaggers today. They knew all along, but they went along because they were having their hatreds assuaged. And as a consequence, once everything fell apart, oh, I didn't know any of that. I did not know that was going on.
But these people, I mean, it's been going on, to my recollection, at least since Rush started out. Because the first time I heard him, I knew that guy was a propagandist. And, you know, you have, like, the Luntz guy in the background making tons of money, feeding people lies to get us all confused.
Yeah, and talking about drowning the government in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Nice bunch.
But anyway, this guy was something else, And why do they have so much of the people from Heritage Foundation?
Well, because they're always there and they're always willing to come on at a moment's notice. That's the way the Heritage Foundation gets on, is by being available.
Well, you know, I would like to go into what he said. Makes you not be poor. I pretty much got some of those things, but I don't smoke, I don't drink. I mean, and it's like one person told me one time, said you deserve to have something besides nothing, you know, even if, I went to a credit counselor one time and she said, I don't even tell people to quit smoking because sometimes, you know, that keeps you from going completely out of it. It's a very understanding person. But you get some of these people, they think, well, you shouldn't have any of that. Oh, I know what I want to tell you, too, about this guy. Somebody called in and said, where I live, it is so hot. She said, if we don't have air conditioner, we could die. And he said, oh, I see. You mean now we need air conditioner? When I grew up, we didn't have air conditioner. Only one store in town had air conditioning. And he said, we got along just fine. And now we need air conditioning? And, yeah, we do because we got all this pollution.
And the climate's changing, yes.
Without it. You know, without air conditioning.
And you know what? The fact of the matter is, I don't know where he grew up. But I mean, there's an element of truth to it. When I was a little boy and we'd travel up here from Alabama, Neither of my grandparents' homes had air conditioning. My father would come and get me, and we would sneak off to a beer joint just to sit in air conditioning.
I remember you saying something about that one time.
Yeah, I'd have a ice cold frosty root beer, and Dad would have an ice cold West Virginia lager or maybe an Augustiner. You know, one.
Yeah.
It was kind of like air conditioning rent. But the fact of the matter was, it was not as hot then as it is now. And the other fact is that air conditioning propelled the population demographic shift to the South. There's no getting around it. I mean, the South got populated the way the South is populated by virtue of the fact that air conditioning was made available. Because, you know, I mean, you grew up in the South. You remember what it was like, folks sitting on porches, fanning themselves, and the funeral parlor fans in the pews at the church on Sunday morning.
Fan. I got one somewhere. You go to church and you sit there fanning. But, you know, no, you wouldn't even think about it. If you had a fan, just a fan. Now, what I have air conditioning. You can get, if you've got it, you can sometimes get an air conditioner for $100 for a room. Now, I went and bought one of those removable, portable air conditioners.
Right.
And it's like 7,500 BTU, and it don't do diddle squat. And I pay quite a bit of money.
Not where you are.
I can pay down on it. But the other air conditioner, it puts out pretty good. You got one cool room in your house, and the rest of it's like an oven. So I'm rich.
There's another one of those little Juanita gems that just sort of you have no idea how you just knock me down sometimes, Juanita. Yeah. So I got air conditioning in one room, so I'm rich. Yeah. Yeah. Well, as soon as this call's over, you're gonna go out and price the blue Buicks, right?
I've got blessings that you can't see, and you know you do too. You can't see it, but you got it.
Absolutely.
If you got one person that loves you, just the way you are. And I feel for some people that don't have anybody. And another thing this guy was going on about was single parents. And about how there's more unwed mothers now. Well, so if there is, I mean, I guess your anti-abortion is working, you think. But a lot of times girls have babies because they're lonely. They have a lonely life. And they
want somebody that will love them exclusively.
Unconditionally, yeah. I know.
You'd be surprised how often that happens around here.
I know it for a fact, yeah. And they don't realize what all they have to go through, but sometimes even when they do realize it, they figure it's worth it. Because, you know, there's nothing like it. But anyway, it's just his idea. But you know, it's like I said before, Bob, I'd rather have what I have than have all that money, like you said, all that money, 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 money. I mean, I like to have some money, but I don't want to have that to be the ruler of my life when I have greater riches. And I say I have a rich father. I told somebody that one time. I said, "What do you mean? And what does he do?" And I said, "Well, he's my heavenly father. He owns everything, and he knows how to keep me from letting money rule my life. Because he won't let me have a whole lot, but he keeps me going."
There you go. And that's the purpose that it's supposed to serve, Juanita.
But anyway, we do, and I know you do. You've got a wonderful family. You've got right children? You know, I'm in love with your son.
Yeah. he thinks the world of you, Juanita.
And he's going to be somebody.
You know what? You should. He is making such progress on the guitar.
Oh, wow. You got to let him play sometime for us.
He heard a lick of a song, and I won't mention what song. But he had just run back here. I was finishing up some work, and he came running with my old guitar. And he said, Dad, you got to hear this. And he plays me something, and I was just listening to a song. And he said, back up, play that again. And I played it again, and he said, stop it. And then he played it.
Wow.
And even I was going, wait, what, huh? How did, what? It was a magical little moment. So now I'll get emails from our musician friends saying, oh, great. Oh, great. Yeah, now you've set him up with a real future. Musician. Good one, Bob. You know, there's a song that I do just love, and it's by an artist that is a personal favorite of mine. His name is Jason Isbell, and it's the title track from his band's first album, and the song's called 7 Mile Island, Juanita.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that somewhere.
I've played it on the show, but there's a verse in it, and it goes to the heart of what you were saying a few minutes ago about sometimes young girls have babies not entirely by accident, just because they want someone to love and love them, who will love them unconditionally. You know, because generally speaking, the love of mama is the most unconditional love in the world, right?
Yeah, generally speaking, yeah.
Well, there's a verse in this song where he sings about a young woman. Mary's crying because she can't hold water and her clothes don't fit her right. She used to say that she wanted a daughter. Now she only wants a Saturday night.
Oh.
And
that's deep.
Yeah. And then there's one more verse and then another verse. Then, we all live in an Airstream trailer about 300 yards up the lake. Call the doctor. Mary's going into labor. And you can't raise a baby on shake. Whew. Yeah, pretty profound.
Yeah.
But Juanita, I got to tell you, I'm glad to know that 7,500 BTU portable air conditioner has raised you into the wealthy investor class. Don't spend it all in one place.
I paid for it on time, but I wouldn't. I don't think I'd buy another portable. I just those rooms.
I've seen them, and I just didn't. They didn't. It's got the corrugated hose coming off the back. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're right at it, it blows nice cold air. But you got to be at it like the old timey heaters, you know, where you burn on one side and freeze on the other.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Juanita, you have a wonderful evening, dear.
You too.
We'll talk soon. How's Charles?
Oh, he's been 7 hours in the emergency room with his breathing problem.
Golly, Ned.
They had to give him, the doctor was on vacation, and they told him go to the emergency room, and he did, and they really gave him some good, tending to, but, you know, it's pretty bad. It's like,
well, tell him, please, we're thinking of him. Yeah, and this time of year when the air gets still and it doesn't move.
Yes. And that guy says, oh, air conditioner. Oh, sure, we need air conditioner. Sure, we do. It's like that guy that was headed, you know, when they had Katrina, and he said, well, I just don't understand what those people, what they can do with ice. Well, ice is the most important thing you can get when you don't have any air or conditioner, and some people don't have water.
Does the Heritage Foundation guy think that you're rich if you got a refrigerator, too?
Well, you know, I didn't hear him say that. I've been without refrigeration. I've been without a lot of stuff. But
you know, that's one of the nice things about this show is that when you say something like that, there's a whole bunch of people out there who go, me too, Juanita, me too.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. And it is interesting how a lot of us were different, but we're intertwined in some way. I just really count it as a blessing that I found this program. But I wanted to say my son did tell you to hang in there.
Well, you tell him we said the same going right back at him.
Okay.
Autumn's going to come. It'll cool off at least a little bit, even in Florida.
We had a little bit of reprieve at night here. We finally got some rain.
Dropped into the 90s, did it?
Oh,
I'm being a smart aleck. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Juanita, you take care. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Juanita calling from Central Florida. We'll take a little break. Email came in from David in Tennessee with regard to that heritage guy. Look, Bob, it's all a part of the enforced race to the bottom. It's for us, not them. That heritage, it's for us, not them, that Heritage Foundation crowd. Their desire is for us to be even poorer. We're not down there with Bangladesh yet. So the Heritage Foundation has work to do so as to save the nation. And in that remark that Juanita was describing, there is such a boatload of truth. The rich, who are, after all, who funds the Heritage Foundation, literally begrudge Juanita an air conditioner. Now, another part of the reason that Charles has the problems that he does is because the air in Florida is filled with the filth that comes from coal-fired power plants. But the Heritage Foundation says that he can't have a single room in his home where the air is a little bit filtered and cooled of all of that filth. Like David in Tennessee says, we're not down there with Bangladesh yet. So the Heritage Foundation has work to do so as to save the nation. And by the way, I just saw a note in my email from our good friend Maria Gonneau. You may recall that the Kanawha Valley of West Virginia is also known as the Chemical Valley, because there are all sorts of chemical plants down there that pump all kinds of poison into the air, and sometimes they actually keep the poison from getting into the air, but if it ever gets loose, we're screwed. Let's see. Not too awfully far from here. There's a DuPont plant at a little community called Bell. They make phosgene gas. And some of that escaped not long back. But Maria noted, speaking of earthquakes, they are evacuating areas in Charleston, West Virginia, because of the tremors today. Jim noting a new name for the teabaggers, teabuggerers. I certainly have done that to this nation. But all of that business about, well, you know, that heritage freak. Well, when I was a boy, we didn't have air conditioning. Another example of right-wingers watching stuff that's supposed to be funny and taking it as serious drama.
Very possible.
All right.
Why?
A good glass of
Shuttle,
eh, Josiah?
Oh, you're right there, Obadiah.
All right.
Who would have thought 30 years ago we'd all be sitting here drinking Chateau de Chasselet, eh?
Them days we're glad to have the price of a cup of tea.
All right, a cup of cold tea.
Without milk or sugar.
Or tea.
In a cracked cup and all.
Oh, we never used to have a cup. We used to have to drink out of a rolled-up newspaper.
The best we could manage was to suck on a piece of damp cloth.
But, you know, we were happy in those days, although we were poor.
Because we were poor.
Aye.
My old dad used to say to me, money doesn't bring you happiness, son.
He was right.
Aye.
I was happier then and I had nothing. We used to live in this tiny old tumble-down house with great big holes in the roof.
House? You were lucky to live in a house. We used to live in one room, all 26 of us, no furniture, half the floor was missing. We were all huddled together in one corner for fear of falling.
You were lucky to have a room. We used to have to live in the corridor.
Oh, we used to dream of living in a corridor. Would have been a palace to us. We used to live in an old water tank on a rubbish tip. We got woke up every morning by having a load of rotting fish dumped all over us. House?
Well, when I say house, it was just a hole in the ground covered by a sheet of tarpaulin. But it was a house to us.
We were evicted from our hole in the ground. We had to go and live in a lake.
You were lucky to have a lake. There were 150 of us living in a shoebox in the middle of the road.
Cardboard box?
Aye.
You were lucky. We lived for 3 months in a rolled-up newspaper in a septic tank. We used to have to get up every morning at 6 o'clock and clean the newspaper, go to work down the mill, 14 hours a day, week in, week out, for 6 months a week. And when we got home, our dad would thrash us to sleep with his belt. Luxury. We used to have to get out of the lake at 3 o'clock in the morning, clean the lake, eat a handful of hot gravel, work 20 hours a day at mill for tuppence a month, come home and Dad would beat us around the head and neck with a broken bottle if we were lucky.
Well, of course, we had it tough. We used to have to get him out of the shoebox in the middle of the night and lick the road clean with our tongues. We had to eat half a handful of freezing cold gravel, work 24 hours a day at mill for 4 months every 6 years, and when we got home, our dad would slice us in two with a bread knife.
Right. I had to get up in the morning at 10 o'clock at night, half an hour before I went to bed, eat a lump of cold poison, work 29 hours a day down mill and pay mill owner for permission to come to work, and when we got home, our dad would kill us and dance about on our grave singing hallelujah.
Are you trying to tell the young people of today that?
And they won't believe you.
No, no, they won't.
That, of course, the inimitable Monty Python and the Four Yorkshiremen. You know, the teabagging good old days. Yeah. Well, we'll take a little break. It's about 12 minutes before the hour. We'll take a little break and come back. It was 15 years ago today, well, yesterday, Bill Clinton taught the poor folks to say, we're screwed. Because the welfare turned its back. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
down to the welfare. Every month a report. Some of the things they'll say to you. That's sure to get you going. When you tell them you're sick, you better have a bad cough. Because if you don't, well, that's just the way to dissolve you all. What you gonna do with the welfare turns its back on you? You've been standing around, standing well. Ain't a thing that you can do.
I stuck my neck out a mile.
Liberals are attacking the mentally weak and most socially malfunctioned amongst us, the Republican Tea Party. Liberals know the most painful thing you can say to someone is the truth. Help end the suffering of the Tea Party Republicans by supporting their efforts to destroy America, to save it. Only then can we all live in the apocalyptic utopian hellscape our founding fathers envisioned for this country. So please donate to the Tea Party Special Victims Unit. Help keep crazy constitutional.
I love you.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
By the way, that last little clip was from TeaPartySVU.com. TeaPartySVU.com. Oh, mother. Hellscape. I just love it. What a word. I love hellscape. Killing America so we can save it. It's 4 minutes before the hour. And, you know, I don't when the opportunity presents itself for me to actually verify things for you, I like to do that. I don't want you thinking that I just make crap up. You know, like West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection guys saying they Googled that blasting is good for earthen dams. You know, I gotta send this to Brad Friedman for the Green News Report. I got a little problem here though, because this is a longish clip. My good friend Jordan Freeman posted video of a guy from the DEP called Greg Demian, and you can find this at our good friend Ken Ward's Coal Tattoo blog. B-Tree public hearing. Does WVDEP listen to coalfield citizens about mountaintop removal mining? Well, the quick answer is no. They listen to the coal companies. That's their job. This is a longish clip, but if the audio is good enough, and I'm playing this on the fly, bear with it, because I want you to hear the punchline. This is just too damned good. And this is Greg Demian of the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. I don't know if this thing could go viral. By the way, I need to tell you there is a new there's a new address, and I need all of you, please, who are interested in following the issue of mountaintop removal. I need all of you to follow a and if you've got mountaintop removal information on Twitter, send it to at MTRKills, at MTRKills. I hope that will be a new clearinghouse for information related to mountaintop removal. Anyway, without further ado, I present you, and it's about 6 minutes, so just sit tight, okay? We'll be going to the phones here momentarily. Just sit tight and enjoy the comedy stylings of West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection employee Greg Demian. This is Rich. Okay, this is raw video. Pettus, West Virginia, August 9th, 2011. It's the night I was supposed to be there, but wasn't. Because Margie was so sick.
Last year, I think I Googled, like...
Oh, this is precious. It's right at the front of the piece. I'll hush now.
Caused the water to displace through the boreholes and caused the earth to actually densify and compact. And it provided a suitable foundation for the expansion of the hill.
And the source for that was...
What? I can't remember the name of it. You can Google something like blasting around dams or something like that, and it's pretty easy to find. Well, the whole point of it is that you can use the energy from the explosives to effectively compact saturated ground right at the toe of an existing earthen dam. So it goes to show that the effects of explosives are not detrimental to earthen dams when you take the proper precautions and do the proper design work.
Told you, I don't just make stuff up. It turns out that that is from a paper called Explosive Compaction of Foundation Soils for the Seismic Upgrade of the Seymour Falls Dam. Ken Ward quotes the paper saying, "This paper covers the successful application of explosive compaction technology for the densification of the foundation soils for the seismic upgrade of the Seymour Falls Dam, Vancouver, British Columbia." Mm. Yeah, explosives are good for dams. Earthen dams. By the way, people wanting to know, what was that song? That was "When the Welfare Turns Its Back on You" by Mike Henderson. Cindy in the Great Northwest, what are you going to do when the welfare lets you down? Oh, dear God, Bob, what was that song? I love it. What are you gonna do when the welfare turns its back on you? William, who has done no small amount of bluesmanship in his time, said, "Bob, in '68, I played as part of a church service, popular thing in those days at a liberal church. We did that song, picked it up from Freddie King." Clapton loved that guy's work. This is Mike Henderson. and it's amazing. Jay, by the way, writing in from, he says, Bob, I guess I'm rich too. I get, although I sign my emails Jay from Yuma, Monday through Friday, I actually live in San Luis, Rio, Colorado, Sonora, Mexico, but often spend Saturday and Sunday in Yuma. My place here in San Luis started out as two railroad shipping containers. I'm slowly building a small 30 feet by 30 feet adobe attachment. Back to being rich. I have a 5,000 BTU window unit set in one partitioned off end of one of the steel boxes. This space is just big enough for my computer desk, my recliner, which I sleep in, and a very small kitchen table with one chair. At the moment, the temperature outside is 115 degrees, and tomorrow is forecast to hit 117 to 119. I can assure you that the majority of the 50,000 people who live in San Luis do not have any air conditioning. Oh, on the other topic of the day, I'm only 50 kilometers, 30 miles from the epicenter of the 7.2 quake that hit last year. Since then, there has been only a handful of weeks that we have not had at least one 5.0 or greater shaker. One gets used to it. And, you know, that may very well be the operative slogan of filthy outfits like the Heritage Foundation for the rest of us. Get used to it! Thank you for sharing that, Jay. It is much appreciated. And now, onward and back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tracy.
How you doing?
You know, I'm maintaining.
Well, I made it back from Vegas in one piece.
Well, you know, we were waiting for the trip report.
Well, the trip report was, why do I think I could go to Vegas and gamble and win? That's trip part point number one.
Rule one. Let me help. Rule one.
Rule one.
The house always wins.
Always wins.
Shall we move to rule two?
Yeah, kind of like the Republicans.
Yeah. Rule two, the house always wins.
Always wins.
Do we need to go to rule three?
The house always wins.
She can be taught.
I can be taught. I am a person of some intelligence, but in all, I still have fun. I went and saw, I got 40% off to go see Jersey Boys, which is probably the most amazing thing I have ever seen. And I've seen a few shows, but yeah, Jersey Boys was awesome. So yeah, that was fun. And I drank more than I realized I could drink.
Well, you know why that is? That's because of all that pure oxygen pumped into the casinos.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm like, why am I not drunk? It got to that point where my body's like, you know what? Even though you're feeling that you're not drunk, you're drunk. So go lay down. I drank Friday, and I was pretty much done drinking for the rest of the weekend. I had a beer or two with dinner. And I don't care to see any more alcohol for until probably my next trip to Vegas, which will probably be in October.
Right.
You know, I found out that I actually kind of like Vegas. I just, I mean, because I'm not a partier. I'm not that. I don't care about going out clubbing and stuff like that. But there's this kind of a, I like, you know me, and I like talking to people. And most of the hotels in Vegas are union.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you know me and unions and how I feel about unions and, I talked to my waiters and my waitresses and, you know, just talking about what's going on. And I actually met a waitress from West Virginia.
No. Well, we do get around.
You guys do get around. And we had a half an hour conversation about mountaintop removal because she has been out of the state for a while. So, and she was not aware of how bad it has gotten because she doesn't really have any family back there anymore.
Oh, will you pardon me while I do a little Snoopy dance? Oh, I love how this happens. I got a lady from L.A. going to Vegas doing Appalachian mountaintop removal missionary work with a transplanted hillbilly. Ho! Testify.
And she was appalled. She was absolutely appalled. And I told her your name, and I told her, you know, to Google you so she can listen to the show and how to, you know, and if she can't listen live because she has to do what, you know, work for a living, that, you know, she can listen to the shows that evening, that because they're archived, and she wrote your name down and everything.
Awesome.
It was, I had an awesome time.
Hey, New Vegas friend, hope you're listening.
It was great, because she, when I told her about it, and she's like, yeah, that's not cool. I'm like, oh, sweetie, it's, you know, I said, I don't know a lot, but I know enough to know that you need to know about it, and I know you said you don't have any, not much family back there, or what, because she said her whole family were coal. They either worked in the coal mine or the paper mills. And whatnot. That's what her family did. They were all Democrats. They were all working folk. And that's what they did. She had a couple of Republican relatives that fancied themselves as, you know, businessmen. So obviously as a businessman, you automatically have to be a Republican. And I asked her, sweetie, would they make it at least over $1 million a year? She's like, hell to them. I said, then they should not be Republican. Because unless you're in the $1 million bracket, and even then, that's kind of poor for most of these fools. Then you don't even.
Oh yeah, you're not even on the RNC Christmas card list for less than $5 million.
That's you know, hardcore $5 million. You know, that you can go to the bank and take that money out. It's not all paper. You know, it's actual green money. If you have to sell paper, if you have to sell property or whatever, but you can become a lot. You can become liquid quickly if necessary. You know, so yeah, they're not even on the Republican, like you said, the RNC mailing list. And she's like, you know, it was so funny. She's like, because she goes for her relatives, because she went to, she went to a family reunion down in Mississippi. And she has a daughter. Her father was from Guam. So she's dark skinned. And so her daughter, you know, pretty much as they've lived in Vegas all her daughter's life, so she had no idea of how stupid people were. And she's like, do they really walk around and fly in Confederate flags here? Wow. And of course she was getting the looks because she was dark skinned and stuff like that. And she's like, these stupid rednecks. So we were one of the things.
Yeah, but see, now they've got that movie The Help, and all the racists in the South can go and watch it, and they will. It'll be just like our conversation about, you know, all the white folks watching Roots.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, I went and saw The Help, and I'm just so glad it's not like that here anymore.
Anymore. Mm-hmm. I love it. See, I kind of pride myself on making certain kind of white people uncomfortable because I don't care about your comfort level and your comfort zone. I need you to step out of it because movies and books like to help keep people stupid about what the racial situation is in this country. It's you know, these people say, oh, I'm so glad that it's not like that anymore.
Well, you know what? I learned a little bit about it's not like that anymore. As I mentioned, and you just got back, so you may not have known, but while I was gone last week, I was actually up to the Highlander Center in East Tennessee.
Okay.
Now, this is the place, this is the place that taught Rosa Parks that when she was foot sore and tired at the end of the day, she needed to just keep her seat on the bus.
Right. Okay.
And they taught her how to do that. And
they taught her how to withstand the abuse and the...
Yeah, and they taught Dr. King and the members of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, what they needed to know. And they got firebombed, and they got run out on miscegenation and moonshining charges. So they rebuilt on a new location. Miles Horton did in 1971. He and some volunteers built everything there with their own two hands. And lo and behold, I was talking with the folks that worked in the kitchen there while I was there. And I said, well, is it pretty calm here now? The one lady looked at me and said, well, pretty much. Excepting for the fact that we've got some white supremacists about three miles from here who moved down here specifically because we're here, and they said that they're going to run us off. Now, it's 2011.
Yeah. And things have changed. We have evolved into a greater, kinder, gentler nation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got that one love mentality. There's racism is no more.
Oh, yeah, this is post. Yeah, we're in a post-racial America now. By the way, I got to share a one-liner with you. You know, Jon Stewart's got these this team of writers, and Bill Maher's got a team of writers, and I guess Michael Moore's got a team of writers, and they're all handsomely paid. Well, here at the Horn, all we've got is the incredibly quick wit of those who share their time with us, Tracy. And I just got a note from Michael. Who occasionally goes into the chat room as Kid A. And Michael wrote, responding to our little colloquy about the fact that the House always wins, Michael wrote in and said, does Barack Obama think D.C. became Vegas since the 2010 midterms? Because the House always wins.
Always wins, yes.
Oh.
The House always wins. It does. Yes, indeed, it does. And, you know, it's so funny because you think about, you know, like I said, when, and God bless the Highland Center, and we, see, here's the deal. Oh, before I forget, you know, because I'm not good with checking my email and I got to get better with it, but I checked my email yesterday and I got an email from, I guess, the coffee party, and they're having a rally in D.C., the weekend, like Halloween weekend, like they think.
Oh, fun.
And they sent me an email and invited me to speak.
Really?
I don't know why. Maybe because of some of the stuff that I've said. I don't know how they found me. I don't know.
Oh, that's but too awesome.
It's going to be, I know I'm not the only one. You know, it's going to be a bunch of Americans who are just, and, you know, the rally is enough is enough. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to go. I mean, fortunately.
Oh, golly, I hope you are.
Well, you know, and it's not even, it's just getting out there. You know me, I'm waiting for the airfare thing because right now if I book the airfare, it's $500. I'm not doing that. I can't. I could swing three, maybe three. $250 would be better. But three is about, you know, $500 I'm not going to do. But I'll because Labor Day weekend is usually when they start doing the airfare sales for the fall. So I'll just have to keep my eyes, you know. But I would love to go, besides the fact I've always wanted to go to Washington, D.C. anyhow.
Well, make sure you give yourself enough time to not, and I just say this as someone who has been down this road. Give yourself time enough to work. Not just to work, but to rejuvenate yourself with the nature of what you're there for.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm like everybody else. We are tired, and it is enough. It's enough. I mean, I don't know. There's so many things that I could talk about. Like, you know, I don't know how you're gonna put me in jail for, you know, $4,000. But you're trying to make deals with the bank. You know, what is the Attorney General of New York State who...
Yeah, Eric Schneiderman.
Eric Schneiderman. And he's like, screw you guys if you think that I'm not going to go after these people. You just want them to be let off with a fine. They criminal. They stole. They raped. They pillaged. You put us and people like me and you in jail because we're hungry or we're trying to take care of our kids. Or trying to send our children to a better school. How dare we? But you won't put these bastards in jail that single these people caused an economic collapse that we haven't seen since the Depression? And you think that's okay? You're running around trying to privatize schools and demonizing teachers? We've had this conversation about California schools. We were the epitome of what education was in the United States. People would come to California just because of the school. The jobs, okay, yeah, but
they had kids. If you were trying, if somebody, it was a company was trying to get somebody to transfer out here to work, and they would just talk about, if you got kids, this is the place to be for your kids' education. And then we had Prop 13. And that was it. You know, but it's, you want to talk about how horrible everything is, but you don't really want to talk about the fact that we have this ever-widening gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Oh, yeah, just remember, the Jay in San Luis, Colorado is rich because he's got an air conditioner.
Right,
and you know, and that according to the Heritage Foundation, and so too is Juanita there in Central Florida, rich, because she got her an air conditioner.
And I don't even have an air, and I live in Sherman Oaks in the Valley, and I have a one of those wall air conditioning units that basically just blows air. So thank God we've been fortunate in L.A. and knock on wood, that we haven't had a horrible, you know, we haven't had the heat that everybody else has been having across the country. I mean, it's been a relatively mild summer. So I've had nights that is pretty bad, but not as bad as it has been. So, you know, but, you know, you got people, like you said, listening, some of your listeners, 115 degrees. What? That's just ridiculous. And was it Juanita that was talking about, was it Juanita or Susan that was talking about the welfare situation, about how back in the day?
Oh, Juanita, yeah.
Did you ever, it made me think of, do you remember the movie Claudine?
Yes.
And the song Keep Away From Him, Mr. Welfare?
Mm-hmm.
And how when the welfare lady came, you know, they had to clear out all the good, the nice stuff that they had, and, you know, put in the old toaster and all this stuff so they could show that they were poor. Or like she said, they...
Deserving.
Yeah, they were deserving. But the sad part is, like you said, what was it, in 1971, was it? That 82% of the...
No, that was 1979.
79. So 82% of the people who needed help got it.
Right.
And then we went down to 68%. And what? And then now we're down to, did you say 27%?
27%, yes.
And is that, that's across the country?
Yes.
So now we basically now have, and, you know, now I can actually kind of do math. So that means 73% of people who are in the need of help.
Can't get it.
They can't get it because either because it's not available any longer, or they, I know, like in what was it, in Jersey? Was it New Jersey that fat bastard, Mr. I'm going to take a helicopter.
Yeah, Chris Christie.
To my son's soccer game and then take another limousine to drive another 200 yards because I'm a fat bastard. And, you know, but you're going to reduce, you're going to raise what they consider the poverty level in New Jersey. So that people can no longer get aid? You fat bastard? Did I say fat bastard?
Yes, and frankly, it would not bother me if you said it about five more times where he's concerned.
You know, you fat, fried chicken, greasy, lap band needing, can't hardly breathe. If he has a heart attack, it'll be on this taxpayer dime, motherfucker. Him?
That would be him.
Okay. I'm just making sure I have the right guy.
No, you've got the right MF-er.
Okay, you know, because, you know, I've been really, it just, when these greedy bastards sit around and sit, if I know it, it's like I said, I feel like they sit in the room, right? And they're like, okay, so, who was it that was saying that we're not at Bangladesh level now?
That was David in Tennessee. So they got work to do.
They're working on it. You know, what is that song by the Isley Brothers? I got work to do. You know, that should be their theme song. That should be the theme song for the Republican, for the teabaggers. I have work to do. Because they will not rest until we are scraping the bottom of the barrel when people have to work, you know, like, what is it, that idiot Bush, that lady said, I'm working three jobs?
Well, that's the American way.
No, that's uniquely American.
That's unique. I'm sorry. I misquoted. I'm sorry. That's uniquely American. No, it is not uniquely American. That's uniquely developing country. Uniquely American is if you, the only reason why you worked a second job was because you wanted to do something, you wanted to go on vacation. You wanted to buy a car. You wanted to, you know, move into a better house. So you worked a second job so you can use that money to save. That was your savings money. You know, that wasn't to live on money. That was just savings money. And once you made enough money in that second job to get and do whatever you wanted to do, then you could quit that second job. But when we're living in a country where teachers who are working 12 hours a day now still have to go work a second job just so they can survive, what? I know, I'm preaching to the choir.
No, I got something for you.
Okay.
Rick Perry.
Rick Goodhair Perry?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody can be ready for this, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
But feel free to scream at your leisure.
pull out what little hair I have left. Okay.
Yeah, Rick Dunn went to South Carolina, of course. And this is a beautiful moment as Rick Perry moments go. Yesterday was the opening of the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial to commemorate Dr. King in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Rick Perry was speechifying and stumpifying. It was also the 50th anniversary of a historic sit-in in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Okay? So the reporter asking questions, and this will probably be some fairly poor audio, but we're going to listen real hard. Because it's only a 52-second clip, and bless their hearts at Think Progress for getting this, because this is precious. Like I said, this is a question. Well, let's let it be what it is.
Coming to the Old Town Bistro, you're actually visiting a very important place in Rock Hill and the nation's civil rights history. This year, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the French Unkind Sit-in. You get a comment on that?
Listen, America's gone a long way from the standpoint of civil rights, and thank God we have. I mean, we've gone from a country that's made great strides in issues of civil rights. I think we all can be proud of that. And as we go forward, America needs to be about freedom. It needs to be about freedom from overtaxation, freedom from over litigation, freedom from over regulation. And Americans, regardless of what their cultural or ethnic background is, they need to know that they can come to America and you got a chance to have any dream come true because the economic climate is going to be improved. God bless you and thank you all for coming.
Yeah, you got that, Tracy?
So, Martin Luther King died and a whole lot of other folks fought, bled, and died for the civil rights movement. So we can have less regulations and less taxation and what else?
And less regulations and less litigation.
Less litigation. Because let's just think, how about that litigation about Brown v. the Board of Education?
Well, there was that, and I got to thinking, Tracy, that nasty little Southern, well, that nasty little American habit that we refer to as lynching.
Yeah.
You know what
lynching laws.
Yeah, you know why that happened? Because racism was overregulated, and we're going to be free of overregulation.
Regulation. Uh-huh. So in other words, I can go ahead and fly my Confederate flag from my four-wheel drive big ass truck while I drag a black man from the back of it.
Bingo. But you know, there's a little thing in
because it's going to be deregulated.
Right. Oh yeah. Rick Perry says that, as we discussed, Rick Perry says that the Civil War was an act of federal government intervention.
I'm telling you.
You said you wasn't going to drink till you went back to Vegas, but I'm working on it.
You know what? I do have. I keep
beer on the ready at my house. So it's like, I just, anyway.
No, I understand. Yeah. But there's a sentence in here that just kind of grabbed me, Tracy. Now listen to this. And maybe we'll just have to analyze this a little bit. Listen, America's gone a long way from the standpoint of civil rights, and thank God we have. I mean, we've gone from a country that made great strides in issues of civil rights. This is just one of those diagram and sentences with grandmother Kincaid moments.
Right.
We've gone from a country that made great strides in issues of civil rights. Period. And America's gone a long way from the standpoint of civil rights. And thank God we have. You know, these are those little Dr. Freud moments.
That I know he secretly wishes that he could sleep with his mother and kill his father.
Right, but these are these little Dr. Freud moments, you know, when the lace on Rick Perry's Freudian slip is showing. We have gone from the standpoint of civil rights. We've gone from a country that made great strides in issues of civil rights to the America we have today.
Part when he was talking about when you could, because we're going to deregulate and less litigation and all this, so people can come to this country and know that they can make their dreams come true. Now here's the problem that, you know, because Mr. Rick Perry, he don't want no immigrants here.
Well, there is that.
What people is he, maybe the white immigrants, but he don't want the Hispanic ones, he don't want any black ones, he don't want, well, the Asians that might be able to come in. Tim is from Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, okay, and I find this interesting too, Tracy, because, you know, he says, and you know, it's just how my sad little brain works. He says,
but you have a brain that works.
Well, some days.
You're ahead of the crowd already.
Some days. Well, I'm ahead of the tea baggers at least.
Yeah, Tejadas. Oh, every time I have to start using.
I'm ahead. I am way ahead of the Tejadas. But one of those little, you know, write an essay comparison and contrast moments.
Yes.
Now.
But you, again, that education that you got that they're trying to.
Nothing but trouble.
Okay.
Nothing but trouble.
I'm sorry.
That education is nothing but trouble.
Exactly, because we can diagram a sentence.
Yeah, this is Rick Perry in 2011. America needs to be about freedom. It needs to be about freedom from overtaxation, freedom from over-litigation, freedom from over-regulation. Mm-hmm. Now, compare that with the freedoms as defined by Franklin Delano Roosevelt on January the 6th, 1941. It was technically the 1941 State of the Union Address, according to the Wikipedia, folks. He defined the four freedoms as freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. Well, Rick Perry is advocating the exact opposite, because you know what? If you've got freedom from fear, part of that is because you can litigate when wrongs are done to you.
Well, you freedom of fear that you know you have, you go to work every day and you know that you still have a job, that you're going to get a fair wage. Freedom to know, a fear to know that your children, when they go to school, they won't be shot. Or better yet, they'll get a great education so they can move up.
Right. And Rick Perry wants freedom from overtaxation. Well, that means he wants to, conversely, destroy freedom from want and freedom from fear, because freedom from overtaxation means that the government no longer has the power to protect you against those who would oppress you.
Exactly.
Economically, socially, culturally, or legally.
Exactly. You have no avenue of grievances. You cannot fight the power that be.
Bingo.
Because you have these, you know, again, as part of the master plan. You know, it started off,
I could tell, you know, I leave for San Francisco Friday morning, and I'm flying on Virgin America, which I love that airline, but they're, you know, of course, one of the airlines that you have to pay to, you know, check your luggage. And I long for the day because, as we all know, I don't know if, for those of you who have no idea, I'm black. I don't know if anybody noticed that. But
I don't think they did. It's just us.
But see, black folk, myself included, you know, especially my skin, we can't use travel size lotion. And the lotion that we use don't come, even if we could use travel size lotion, they don't come in travel sizes. Okay?
Take your word for it. Remember, I'm pink.
Yeah, you're pink. I know. So I need full size. I need full size products for a full size body. Okay? You know? So I went to Vegas. JetBlue, no charge for your first bag. Virgin America, charge $25. But the sad thing is that the only reason why I have to check my luggage is because of my stuff that I need for my full-size body. So I'm seriously considering, you know, not taking most of the stuff that I take and just buying stuff when I get to Oakland or what have you, because I'd rather spend I'm pretty sure I can probably get what I need for like $10 maybe at
Yeah, I'd say that's the smart money.
Right, because the stuff that I took in my suitcase, I don't need all that. I mean, I pack very light. And like I said, usually the only reason why I have to, you know, check luggage is because of the stupid rule about that stupid, how many ounces are you allowed? Three, four ounces.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, what the? So, you know, I'm already considering it. I'm like, you know, because I was going to buy it.
Southwest doesn't fly to Frisco?
Nah, for $44 each way.
No, they don't.
No.
Well, see, I was going to ask you, and I knew you were in Vegas, but I didn't know when you were coming back, because I ran the audio yesterday, Tracy, of bless her heart, Representative Maxine Waters at Englewood High School.
I love her. Oh, where she was at? She came out. She came home. Oh, I love me some Maxine Waters.
Well, she attended a constituents meeting, and there were a lot of constituents at Englewood High School. And she said, the Tea Party can just go to hell. I was so proud.
Because she's Maxine Waters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and
but you know what? That irritated one of America's most Christian whitest people.
Which one? Pat Buchanan, what?
No, lately we call him, although it's been putting off, I think it puts off... our dear friend Jeanette, because it just kind of the whole image just grosses her out. But we take him to calling him Bro Fro Mix, Rick Santorum, Brother Frothy Mixture.
I think he scares me more than Bachman and Romney.
Well, he's running for vice president.
Oh, that's
what those candidacies are about.
He can't piss anybody off.
He's hoping that if Romney gets the nomination, that he will get the vice presidential nod. Because he's every bit as crazy as Perry, and just as loopy as Bachman, but with better hair than Bachman, and meaner than Perry, and dumber. But not from Texas. So
where is Santorum from?
He's from Pennsylvania.
Now, what is he? Who is he again?
He was this crazy right wing senator from Pennsylvania, who got nicknamed Frothy Mixture when Dan Savage did that to him with a Google bomb, after he said that gay relationships were just like men having sex with dogs.
That was him. Okay. And so
now this is the same guy who is so Christian that when his wife miscarried a baby.
No, wait, no.
They brought the dead fetus home and cuddled it with their little ones.
Excuse me, what?
Yeah, I'm just sort of cattle driving you over to that Samuel Adams, aren't I?
Yeah, Summer L.
He plays with dead fetuses.
He brought the dead fetus. Now, I could understand having a burial for the fetus, you know. And
sure, why not?
Service. I can understand that, but the baby's in the coffin and, you know, whatever. So that means the baby was,
And their children were just little babies. I mean, you know, little toddlers, little 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever.
Do they not think that was going to mess with their psyche?
So,
they don't have a psyche. That's right.
Right. All they got is their immutable soul. So we call him Bro Fro Mix now.
Now, Bro Fro Mix is because
Brother Frothy Mixture. Yeah, I'm not going to say it on the air, but just Google Rick. Just Google the word Santorum.
Okay.
And you'll find out what it now means in popular culture.
See, you know, wow.
But I got another piece of audio I got to share with you.
Oh, okay, good. I love your audio clips, especially I can hear them.
This is from David over at crooksandliars.com. Bro Fro Mix went on a radio show after Representative Maxine Waters done told the teabaggers they can go to hell. He went on Steve Maltzberg's right-wing hate radio show.
This is the name alone, Steve
Maltzberg. Yeah, and if you're a member of the Maxine Waters fan club, Tracy, you're so not going to like what Bro Fro Mix said.
Okay, well, that's not
direct. You're talking about Perry, of course.
I am
talking
about Perry.
I want you to hear Maxine Waters. I'm sure you're aware of what she said. Here's cut 10.
I'm not afraid of anybody. This is a tough game. You can't be intimidated. You can't be frightened. As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell.
Now, Ed, you react.
Well, you know, it's Maxine Waters. I mean, that first off, I mean, she's a caricature of what's wrong with Congress. She's just she's vile, and she's always been that way, and she's just one of these real nasty, anti-basic traditional and fundamental values of this country. And so I'm not surprised that she would say to a group of folks who stand up and defend the Constitution of this country, stand up and defend the Declaration and its our founding principles, finds these people to be folks that should be condemned. Because that's her, she has a very different view. This is the left in America, Steve, you know them. They absolutely despise, the founding principles of this country that believes in free people, that believes in limited government. She is someone who believes that she should control what's going on in America, that she knows best, and that people who stand by constitutional principles of limited government are folks who are to be condemned, and she just did it.
Do you think she was trying to make up for what she said about the president the other day?
I don't know. No, I think that's what she truly feels. And I don't think she's trying to make it up. I think this was a rare moment of candor for Maxine. And that's, if you look back and you'll find
rare moment of candor? Are we talking about the same Maxine Waters? I've never heard that woman pull a punch yet, Tracy.
Now, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility,
and provide for the
common defense, promote the general welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the rest, Bob?
Do ordain and establish this constitution.
Constitution for the United States of America. So that's the preamble, yes?
Yes.
Where does it say limited government?
It doesn't.
Okay.
That would be the Articles of Confederation.
And we don't follow the Articles.
No, but this guy's an old Confederate. His Confederacy is just sort of scrapple flavored since he's from Pennsylvania.
So to promote the general welfare, let's just talk about that part, okay? Promote the general welfare. So,
as long as less than 28% of America needs it.
Exactly. So, in other words,
thanks, Bill.
The Constitution that I learned about when I was in elementary school, thank you, Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I want to sit, I actually have Schoolhouse Rock on DVD. Yes, I do. And I think I might have to just, you know, burn copies and send them to all the teabaggers and let them know, you know.
Oh, they can't. No. Don't waste the money or the time or the effort, Tracy. The damn teabaggers still can't get their VCRs to quit, their Betamax VCRs to quit blinking 12.
That's true. But the thing is to promote the general welfare. To me, I'm sorry, but, you know, that means to me you're going to be taking care of the folks that live in this country.
Yeah, and it started pretty early, too, you know, because we tried to take care of Revolutionary War veterans. In 1812, people got land warrants to go and to go and settle, things like that. Sure.
You know, I'm still waiting for my 40 acres and a mule, but that's okay. We'll move past that.
But the teabaggers want to go back to a time of American freedom when some folks was three-fifths of a human being.
Mm-hmm. That would be me.
Yeah. The reason I played that, though, Tracy, is I want to have a moment here. And I want everybody in the Horn family to have this moment with us. And I want to, Fro Mix, in case somebody gets a message to him, I want to just say for the record, I stand with Maxine Waters. I stand with Maxine Waters. Say it with me.
And if I go to Washington, D.C., I'm going to see if I can talk to Ms. Waltz. Because it's like, I'm tired of these people. You know, it's just, how dare you say that this is a constitutional thing when you probably don't even read, have never even read the Constitution yet?
How dare he suggest that she is vile?
Vile?
After the things that he has said about gay people. He has called liberals Nazis on the floor of the United States Senate, Tracy.
But she's vile.
Right.
Because she said they can go to hell. You know, these people, these hypocritical, two-faced, talking out of both sides of their heads, bastards, gonna call this woman, this fine, upstanding woman, this woman who cares about the people, who will fight tooth and nail to make sure her constituents and the rest of the country get a fair shot. And this slimy, see, you know me, I don't know what people look like, because remember, we still have, you know, that the whole Alan West debacle, because I thought...
No, he's pink. Like no, Bro Fro Mix is pink.
He is pink. But the thing is, you know, I'm not understand, because see, what Bible are these people reading from? I don't understand. Because, you know...
Well, they're reading from the conservative Bible.
That doesn't talk about taking care of people. That doesn't talk about loving people.
No, it's just all mean and nasty with a whole bunch of smiting in it. And stoning.
Right. And stoning and killing folks. And just evil, evil, evilness. And
yeah, Mark just wrote in from Florida and he said, the original principles of this country, you know, exploitation. And then just closes by saying, Santorum, from the land of fascists.
He is. See, that's another thing. Like I said, you know, listening to you, people like you, and reading more, I'm building up my vocabulary with words I really don't want to know the meaning of, but I have to. Like, what's fascism and
totalitarianism?
Thank you.
I live to serve.
Like that, you know, and plutocrats and feudalism and all these.
Oh, get this list, Tracy. Get this list. This just came in from Jim, and he said freedom or fiefdom. Going back to our discussion of freedom from over litigation, over regulation versus freedom from fear and freedom from want. Jim knows his history. He says freedom to be enslaved economically. Freedom to be afraid with no redress. Freedom to be persecuted without relief and justice. Freedom to be sick and hungry without relief. Freedom to be miserable. Yeah, heil freedom a la T-buggery. And quoting Jim, heil fucking Hitler.
And here's the deal, like you said, because, you know, we have people like, you know,
Rick, I'm the governor of Texas Revisionist History, Perry. We have going to have a whole generation of children in Texas that think that the you know, that slavery was, you know, good time all forgotten. Look away, Dixieland. You know that we would know that we enjoy being slaves, and that's the best time in for black folks and family wise. Who was that that said that? That, you know, because when we were slaves, that we had a family unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You, see, you know, Tracy, how you like to put people out of their comfort zones?
Yes.
I do that a little bit, too, sometimes, especially when I know that I'm playing with a knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, teabagging, you know, Confederate type.
Yeah. And see, and when I do stuff like that, you know, I know I have to watch my back because I can't keep doing that where, you know, I could get away with it out here pretty much. But I know when I go
No, look, I got it. Some would say that I should learn, too, because, you know, I just patched a hole in a gas tank.
Is it working? Did you get a patch?
The patch seems to be holding.
Good.
The plastic weld cured nicely. But what I was going to say is that I like to make people uncomfortable too. So it was maybe last week or week before sometime when we were having the the sesquicentennial Civil War moment. Letters of General Lee and Mrs. Lee that David in Tennessee kindly contributed to. And I had to go find me a copy of Dixie. And I just posted, I just randomly posted along the way, you know, because, you know, there were Confederate flags all over the place, you know, the drill.
Yeah.
I just posted.
I'm sorry, I missed that event.
No, that's okay. I just posted, you know, America would probably be better off today if we would have hanged that noble old gray-bearded bastard, General Lee. And, I mean, I am still getting notices from YouTube saying, a comment has been posted to your comment on, and I mean, the Klan and the defenders of the Confederacy and the sons of Confederate veterans and the daughters of the Confederate veterans' sons, and, they're all kind of, you ignorant Yankee, you're probably...
And you're like, I'm not a Yankee. I'm a Southern
member. Duh. Alabama.
Well, it's like the other day when you were talking about, you were talking about Zippity-Dee-Dah. And you could, I'm like, and I remember, and it's so funny because I remember seeing the movie Song of the South. Not real, because I was a kid, so I had no idea what the movie was really about. And, you know, you can't even buy Song of the South anywhere.
No.
But it's like, you know, zippity-dee-dah, zippity-yay, my oh my, what a wonderful day, plenty of sunshine, heading my way.
You remember them little cartoon birds that flew around Uncle Remus's head?
Yes.
Have you ever seen that genius piece of parody from Saturday Night Live?
I probably have.
I think it was his name, Tim Meadows.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a skit called... Uncle Jemima's Sour Mash Corn Liquor. If you have not seen it, you must look it up.
I must.
He's having a couple of pulls, and after a while, that Uncle Remus Bluebird starts flying around his head. And he starts swatting at it, and Tracy Morgan sitting off the side. What you swatting at?
Well, it's just, when you think about all, like, back to the movie and the book that helped, when, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, white people, I generally, most of my customers are white, and because I'm black, they, you know, obviously I know all things black, and I know what every black person.
Well, that's your shared burden.
We all know each other. You know, we all.
You got the Christmas card list, you got the black agenda. Right.
Right. So when they ask, they're like, you know, well, didn't you just love to help? No, I haven't read it. Well, it's a wonderful book. I'm like, well, see, here's the deal. I'm really tired of movies and books about white folks swooping in and saving the poor, ignorant black people. Because that's how they're portrayed, that, you know, black people as a whole are just helpless until the white person, usually a white woman,
comes in and saves the day.
Right.
And they get real quiet. I said, because, see, from what I've read, and this is before the movie came out, and from what I, you know, read for the reviews, is that the white folks in the movie somehow do not speak with the typical Southern accent that all white folks speak with. They speak mostly like me. Because, of course, everybody knows that if you have a Southern accent, that automatically makes you ignorant. Not ignorant, but ignorant. So, of course, we have to portray the white folks as above the black folks because they speak better English than the black folks. And like you said, you from the South, don't all everybody down South pretty much sound alike?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. See, so it's movies and
we're all like that. And we all don't listen to nothing but Keith Urban and Brad Paisley.
Oh God, you know, or Kid Rock.
Oh, now wait a minute. He's from Michigan.
I know. I know.
Don't you hang that on us.
I'm sorry, but they listen to him too.
Every time I hear that stupid song that combines a ripoff of Warren Zevon and Lynyrd Skynyrd in the same damn song, I about put my feet through furniture.
Right. He's awful. He is awful. He's trailer trash personified. But the thing is, like I said, and my other favorite thing.
Now, let's take it easy on trailers. I would love to have one someday.
I know. But the nice one, not the ones that you drive around with, the ones that you can travel with, not the ones, not the double wide that was going to be.
You mean that line about we all live in an Airstream trailer about 300 yards down the lake?
Yeah, here's another one. Here's another one that I like to freak white people out with, that I don't love Oprah Winfrey.
Now you're just gratuitously stomping on treasured myths.
Yes, because the white people get in my cab, and they like, you know. So what is your favorite Oprah's favorite thing? Right, because you know.
See, I'm not racist anymore. I love Oprah.
Hey, I'm like nothing.
We've only got a couple of minutes, but I gotta play you one more little thing here.
Okay.
It's not a sound clip. It's a song.
Okay.
But you since you mentioned trailers and you're gonna love this. This is from a good friend. This is by a guy named John Kuntz. He's from Oregon. His roots are in the South. And this is
I got the book.
Oh, did
Rainbow
you?
Rainbow Pie.
Oh, wonderful.
I haven't read it yet, but I got it.
Well, this is a sort of a loving reference. And it's not written with, it's not done with any sort of a mean spirit at all, but I think you'll recognize these folks.
Trailer love. Trailer love. She's my trailer love. Single wide, chicken fried. Mister, we know how to live. Come on in here, have a beer, sticker in our window says fear this, trailer love. Trailer love.
I wish I had time for the whole song because it's precious.
That's awesome. And before we go, before I forget, you know, when I had my meltdown last week.
Now, don't be beating yourself up about that.
No, I'm not beating myself up. I just want to thank everybody who sent me emails and text messages and everything. The outpouring was amazing, and I truly, truly appreciate everything that everybody said to me. It just made me realize just that I'm not, like you said, and that's that's the power that these people have over us, over some of us, is that they make us think that we're the only ones going through whatever we're going through, and that there's nobody else going through it, so we're alone, but we're not alone. And it's because of programs like yours and the lot and the not, whatnot, that keeps people, it gives people that much deserved and needed hope, and that knowing that there are other people out there that know you and care about you and whatnot and so forth. So I just want to thank everybody from the bottom of my sometime black caustic heart.
Well, you know what? I had a lot of emails saying, my God, that was amazing radio. So,
yeah,
you know, you touched something inside a lot of people, Tracy. And that has value. That has value beyond any ability to calculate it. So I thank you.
And I thank you. And if anybody wants, because I know you, if anybody wants to write me or tweet me or whatever, my Twitter is exactly @LadyCabDriver. So tweet me, because I need followers. I don't have a lot of people that follow me, and not that I care, but I just like to know that there are other people out there that are going through the same mess that I'm going through, and I'm just happy to know that I'm not alone. So keep your fingers crossed that I can make enough money to make it to Washington, and give me ideas of what I should say in my speech if I do go.
Absolutely, and by the way, you just got fan mail in from Mark down in Florida, and he says, you are America. Got to get out of here, Tracy.
Good night, Bob. God bless, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you. Talk soon.
Okay.
Bye now. Yeah, really, really got to get out of here. To everybody else who rang in toward the end of the program, it's always good to get in line early. But we'll have at it again for prayer meeting tomorrow night. It really is time to get out of here. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And